The views and opinions expressed on this program aren't necessarily those of this station, but those of the sponsors, Armada Advisors.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And listening to a little Mexican radio because we've got Wesley Odom in the house with Armada Advisors. Good morning, Wesley.
Buenos dias.
Hey, buenos dias, mi amigo. All right. So Wesley Odom, if you don't know, is the president and owner of Armada Advisors here in Pensacola, Florida, located at 1800 Northeast Street. Now, he has been doing financial advising for over 30 years, so definitely an expert for our expert panel. And right now, Armada currently manages about $170 million and specializes in all types of financial advising, from traditional wealth management, where they actually help you build a portfolio of individual stocks and bonds, and then sometimes they use ETFs or mutual funds. He's active in the 401k industry and frequently serves as a successor trustee and executor for clients. They even have a person on staff who is a licensed guardian. So Wesley is also a former naval officer, and that's great in this neighborhood, right, with NAS. And I don't know about this one, though, Vanderbilt University graduate.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great season this past season.
I mean,
Vanderbilt football, wow. I mean, a winning season. It was unbelievable. We beat both Auburn and Alabama.
And as a Georgia dog, I'm really glad we didn't play y'all this year. We usually play you. So I was like, yay.
That's funny.
All right. So there's so much going on, so much news, so many different things about the market and investing. Kind of help us come back down to earth, if you could.
Sure.
To help kind of give us a sense of what is really happening as we're embarking on 2025. So much input. What do you think? You're clearly an expert.
Well, you know, we had a great year last year in the market. I mean, the S&P 500, which is a broad-based index, was up around 23-26%. And, you know, that was fantastic. And sometimes the expectations are that this is going to continue. And that's not necessarily the situation. You know, you got to look to what got us to the party. And what got us to the party predominantly was technology and communication stocks, some financials as well. But, you know, those three sectors alone created most of the value in the S&P. So this year, you got to look at, see, okay, well, what's going to happen this year? What sectors look valued? I mean, you know, there is a value component to buying things. I mean, believe it or not, when you go to the department store, you don't automatically walk in and say, I want to buy the most expensive thing. Mm-hmm. You never do. You say, okay, what's on sale? I mean, that's most what people do. I mean, maybe there's some people who say, you know, just the opposite. But, you know, generally speaking, I look for what's on sale. And, you know, what the other thing that's happening is, like today, for example, the market is down, you know, quite a bit. And the fear is, okay, well, the CPI, which is consumer price indexes, which is inflation, showed it was going up a little bit. And, you know, that got people concerned. It's got investors concerned because investors in the stock market generally like to see rates extremely low.
Mm-hmm.
Because if rates are very, very low, then that means companies can borrow money at cheap rates, which means that their cost of borrowing to expand their businesses and things like that are less. Hence, they're going to have more money to show for earnings, which the more earnings you have, the more company is worth. Hence, the stock should go up. And then also, the real estate industry likes it because lower interest rates tend to, you know, mean that the mortgage costs are going to be lower. So if that happens, then people can buy, you know, more of their money into a house and less worry about how much I'm going to pay that mortgage. You know, they can buy a bigger house, for example. And so, and then once you buy a house, you got to outfit that house. You got to buy the sofa. You got to buy mm-hmm. the drapes. You got to do all that kind of stuff to buy that house. So, you know, the money's in motion, and that's what people like, money in motion. And so, you know, you have President Trump who's been saying that, you know, I'd really like to see interest rates lower. And you've got the Federal Reserve saying, you know, I've got to worry about inflation. That's my biggest bugaboo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got, you know, and it's important. You've got to solve inflation. And historically, you solve inflation by raising interest rates. And interest rates right now, like in money markets at Fidelity, which is the custodian that we primarily use, around 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really a competitive rate to get if you just want to have your money sit there. So, you know, and also I think it makes sense to look at where we are in the cycle of investing. And oftentimes people always will look back to see what's going on in the markets historically. You know, at least I do, because I've been doing this over 30 years. And typically when you have a first-year term president, which is what we have, I mean, granted, it's really his second term, but it's first term for him back. And typically, you know, you have like a 5 to maybe 10, if you're lucky, 8% year in the S&P. I heard a guy before I came over here, actually a gal on Bloomberg, and I was reading, and she was saying similar things what I'm saying, you know, around somewhere maybe an S&P single digit, definitely single digits for the year. So that kind of is a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. A lot of people say, I want that 20%, you know, or I wanted that NVIDIA that was up 172% last year. And granted, we have clients who got NVIDIA for 172% last year. They were thrilled. You know, this year we've got clients who own Meta, which is Facebook. They're up, I think it's 30% year to date, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
As Facebook has changed their accounting somewhat, that's going to mean that their earnings are going to be more better, I should say, right? Not more better, but better than
right.
than they have been in the future. And so that's added to this valuation increase. You know, so there's a lot of things you got to be aware of, and you got to ask yourself, you know, what I want to do. Do I want to be standing on the sidelines about this whole thing? Do I want to wait out a year? And I think waiting out a year is crazy because there are always things moving. There's always things in undervalued. And I think at the beginning of the first show we did with you guys in January of this year, I said that the hottest sector I think is going to be healthcare. And I think year to date healthcare is up 5-6%, something like
interesting.
That. Interesting. Technology is down negative percent.
So it's almost a reverse from last year.
It's a reverse, absolutely. And I said, you know, this feels a lot like 1999 a little
interesting.
Bit. Interesting. Because in 99 you had technology that was up 93% in the S&P. You had communication stocks, which were up 30%. And the following year in 2000 you had, you know, negative for both those sectors. Both of them were down rather big. I think technology was down around 50%, and you know, communication stocks were down 30. But anyway, it's not going to exactly manifest it that way. I mean, history doesn't repeat that easily,
right?
But I think that, you know, also what happened in 99 is you had healthcare, which had been doing nothing for 2 years previous. And guess what? Healthcare was a shining star in 2000. So same thing has happened now. We've had healthcare got 1% on average last year. And you had a previous year, I think it was negative. So, you know, there's some really good healthcare companies out there. Some did really well last year. Like we had clients in Eli Lilly's stock, and they were up over 30%.
So pharmaceuticals.
Year. So, but some pharmaceuticals didn't do well. Merck was down negative. Amgen was down negative. You know, United Healthcare was down. Elevance, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield, was down. So, but these companies are developing drugs that are going to extend life or add value to life that no one's going to want to do without.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to look at the valuation prospects of it. You know, what's really on sale? And I think that's where you're going to get most of your return if you just take more defensive year. So I think it's going to be a defensive year. And if you play it defensively, you can make, you know, decent returns in excess of probably the S&P.
Okay, we are talking with Wesley Odom, who is the president and owner of Armada Advisors. You can hear already how knowledgeable he is about the stock market and financial investing. So if you have a question, this is the time to text it in at 850-437-1620. With 30 years of experience, do you find you're talking about previous years and you see these little trends? What do you look at now as a predictor for this coming year? What are the things that really you really trust when you're looking at investments?
Well, I think respect the trends to some extent, you know, what past, and you have to look at valuations. There's different ways to value a stock. You can look at a stock from a Benjamin Graham perspective, which is how Warren Buffett likes to value stocks. You can look at earnings momentum method, which is like an EBITDA multiple. I mean, how much does it sell on EBITDA basis, which is, I hate to say, that's a really technical term. I said I wasn't going to use technical terms, but it stands for earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation, amortization.
See, this is where I get lost.
Yeah,
it's really very nebulous. This is why I need
extent.
An expert.
Well, I mean, you have to think about it. I mean, there's soup in the kit. You got to figure out how to make that soup.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's also relative valuation. And relative valuation would be similar to like if you're looking for a house, three-bedroom, two-bath house in a neighborhood, you're going to evaluate, okay, well, am I interested in a brick house or a wood house? How would I, which one is valued from that standpoint? How much would it take to build that house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at how stock is traded based upon relative valuation in the past. So there's different ways you can look at it. And what we try to do is we will look at a program that we have, a proprietary program that will punch us through this data that will give us evaluation metrics on what's the opportunity cost of the risk, you know, for buying that stock. You know, is it better to, because no one wants to go to the airport, for example, and be there a year to wait for the plane to come off.
Oh, no.
Okay. They usually like no. to drive, they, you know, 15, 30 minutes, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, 45 minutes before the plane to take off. They're okay.
That's a great analogy.
All right. So, you know, we try to do that too with the stock market. You know, mm-hmm. what makes sense? I mean, yeah, someone could buy a stock right now really high and a tech stock right now. Not all tech stocks are bad. I mean, there's some really good deals right now, but there's some have are a little bit on the overvalued side. And why would you want to buy it on a real, real high valuation knowing you got to wait a year or two before mm-hmm. it moves? And that's what some people do. They see that hot dot and they go, I want that. I want that past return. Okay, well, it's on sale right now on a valuation basis, on a relative basis, on an earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation basis,
mm-hmm.
or on a Benjamin Graham basis. How is it being valued? And so that's where you kind of come to a guy like me and say, hey, let's look at that. And you know, some companies will literally just put people in pie charts. That's all they do. I had a client the other day who called me up and says, hey, I'm tired of being treated like a pie chart. I said, really? I said, you figured it out. He says, yeah.
Because they all have formulas in quotes, right?
Well, it's just like, you're 65 years of age. You mm-hmm. should have this much in this ETF fund, this mutual fund, and that future fund. And I said, you know, and you look at them, you're like, yeah, you're underwater, underwater, underwater. Oh, you made some money there. You understand what you have? No.
Great.
Okay. So anyway, I said, you know, why don't you buy individual bonds? Like, you can get to return a principal. You know, why to buy this mutual fund that you don't even know what you're getting? You want safety. And you said, you buy a bond, you get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, but it's easy if you're a financial guy, a competitor, I should say, and just say, oh, just come in. We'll give you a pie chart. And yeah, right. and you'll eat it and you'll digest it and you don't worry about how much it costs and I had one lady who came in one time. She had she knew that she hadn't been making money for years and she found out that it was like an internal, it was an annuity and she was like paying like 5-6% a year internally from it. How do you make money at that? That's just
right.
crazy. And she wasn't. Another guy actually called me up. He said, I know you've been managing my 401k, and I put in X number of dollars, I think it was like over time, he said 300,000, and it's worth like about 900 now. And during the same time period, I on a separate account, I put into a pie chart 300,000, just some lump sum. I've only got 650.
Oh,
and I said,
wow.
You start out 300 hard cash, and then with me, you've been putting in over the last 20 years, just little by little. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, you made me a lot of money, Wes. I said, I computed the rate of return for this guy, what he got at the pie chart world, and it was like 3% plus.
Mm.
I was like, what are you doing? He says, I'm transferring my account over to you to manage it all. I said, okay.
And that's probably the difference, too, because as you're talking, I'm thinking about the ones that use pie charts, not to disparage anybody, but they're salesmen.
Absolutely.
So they're really not looking at the long-term financial investment, how this is going to help your family, how this is going to help your future. All the things that you can look into because you've got all these years of experience.
Well, the difference, we're a registered investment advisor. So that means we can't get a commission off the investment.
I mean, I didn't know that.
There's no commission up front. There's no back-end fee. What we do is we have a negotiated fee schedule that will work out with you based on the size of your portfolio, based on how aggressive or conservative you want to be, something like that. So it's very clear, open kimono,
mm-hmm.
that you know exactly how much you're going to pay. And there's no surprises. There's no way I can get, it's prohibited from my law for me to take under the table kind of kickbacks and things like that. So, but it's not true at a brokerage firm. They can charge commissions. They can get bonuses under the table by giving you, putting this one type mutual fund all the time. There was this one client, I remember one time, he's always peculiar about why this company was put into this one particular type mutual fund family. And he finally figured it out. They were like, you know, if they got a certain amount of money in this, they got a trip to like Dominica or something.
Oh,
like
my
that,
goodness.
You know? And so they wanted to go on the trip. You know, it was like not about the client. It was about what if I can just put people in this mutual fund, get a trip. So anyway, we don't get trips. You know, I get money the old fashioned way. I earn it, so to speak. I think it's the best way. Fidelity is awesome. I mean, that's why we deal with Fidelity.
What makes them stand out?
Well, they're the largest custodian in the world. I mean, they do more retirement planning than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And, I find them extremely efficient to do business with. I can pass on the savings to them. For example, if I buy a mutual fund, I can buy an institutional share class mutual fund, which normally would cost $1 million to buy it. But I can do it for a person who doesn't have $1 million because I have assets under my control that I can maneuver that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that is a savings for a client because they're not paying those extra fees or extra 12b1 fees, things like that. They would be paying to the brokerage firm for the thrill of doing business. They're actually buying, they're really getting things cheap internally. And so that's what people want to do. People just don't want to take advantage of. They're very reluctant anyway from trusting anyone because they're thinking, well, I don't know, what if he's not out for me? Well, you know, maybe he's not. I've been doing this for 30 years. Obviously, I've been doing something right.
Well, and you have a stellar reputation, so that's also very important. And if you have a question for Wesley with Armada Advisors, you can text it in on the Pep Talk Show at 850-437-1620. We still have some time if you have some thoughts or questions about some of the things that we've been talking about. Certainly, the new investor is someone that is a little nervous about the terms and what to do. What is your advice for someone that's just getting started? Or perhaps now suddenly came into some money. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, and what should they do instead of putting it in the mattress?
Well, yeah, definitely. one client of mine told me he actually put it in shotgun. He rolled it up double cup barrel shotgun, put it in there, all the cash.
Oh no!
I was like, that's not earning any money. And what happens? No. You forget that you put that load in and you just fire it. And you're like, oh my gosh! Of course, it's going to blow in your face. Actually,
yeah,
but you know, whatever. But
not
that
good.
Actually weird happened. Weird things happen when you're in this business. I've seen a lot of weird things.
That's weird. That ranks up there for sure.
I got better ones than that even, but whatever. We're not.
We need to do a show on that sometime.
Yeah, show crazy stories you've heard from people. And some people will call in, but that was me. I can't believe it. I didn't say your name, though.
No.
Anyway, so what should people do? Well, number one, they have to do a budget. They have to sit down. And we're good about sitting down with people and trying to go over that and make sure, okay, we're on the same sheet of music. You're not going to commit, some faux pas where you're going to just blow yourself up. But got to get a budget. Got to give your house under order and figure out what you need. You know, have you paid off your debts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of mortgage interest rate are? What are your credit card debts? Do you have any? That kind of stuff. When you figure out this kind of stuff. Once you get your house in order, whatever you have left over, okay, what are you looking for? Are you looking to buy a car in sometime in the future? Do you have a big ticket item? Do you have a kid going to school soon you got to worry about? There's a lot of questions we ask before we ever say, this is what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, when someone comes to the door, we don't say, here's a pie chart.
Right. This is the formula we use.
No, it's not like that. You got to find out what people need.
Mm-hmm.
And then I based on that and say, okay, well, based upon this and based upon your risk tolerance, this is what you might want to think about. And it'll give you an idea and we'll give you the pros and cons of everything. So I think you have to communicate with people. If you don't communicate and follow up with them and see what's going on, you're not going to be able to, really be able to be a good financial guy for them.
Well, having that custom attention so that it's really specific to what your needs are is really special. That's really important versus the pie chart.
Yeah.
Very important. So a couple of things that have come up, of course, crypto is a big conversation and people are still trying to understand what it is exactly. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you're going to buy crypto, you know, Fidelity has a great Bitcoin fund that's easy. You can get in and out. I wouldn't use like somebody's fly-by-night like FTX, you know, people put their money in Bitcoin on that. And where is it now? Nowhere.
Mm.
So, you know, it makes who you're buying it for. You know, choosing your custodian is important. I mean, people used to choose Bernie Madoff. People might not remember him, but
I remember the story.
He was his own custodian. You wrote your check directly to Bernie Madoff. People don't write his checks at Armada Advisors. People write checks to Fidelity Investments. They're the custodian. So you have that comfort factor. We're just the advisor directing those investments. That's all we are. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to figure out that. And so I think Bitcoin has its place out there for an aggressive person. You know, I own a company that invests in Bitcoin called MicroStrategies. It's more aggressive. But anyway, that's a way to imbibe Bitcoin.
Okay. And then now with this the political environment and particularly the Middle East, any thoughts about that and how that's going to be affecting the stock market this year?
Well, I think that Trump's ideas shocked a lot of people when he said about the turn the Gaza into the Riviera. But I think that he understands, and even the King of Jordan seems to understand, appreciate the fact that this guy is at least thinking outside the box, because you've got if you just go back there and rebuild these homes for these people that they bombed out of oblivion, you think they're really going to be good and not start ramping up again to attack Israel? I mean, these guys live for that, these Palestinians. And so that's, you know, the story is yet to be untold, you know, told on what's going to happen there. But I think I respect the fact that President Trump is actually thinking, you know, hey, if you put these people here, they're going to cause problems again. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, think about it. If would we allow Mexico or Indian tribe be raiding across our border, or, you know, and attacking Americans and taking them hostage and pulling them back and then negotiating with them? I think we wouldn't put up with that. Mm-hmm. You know, America wouldn't. And then you got Israel over here in the same situation. Now they feel very insecure about, you know, these people. And I think that, you know, President Trump cares about the Palestinians. And so, you know, he's got he doesn't want them to live in abject poverty. And they deserve a good life. And why not other countries take them in? And I hear stories how, well, they don't like them. You know, I remember one time I met a girl in college and I said, oh, so you're Palestinian? She said, oh, no, I'm from Lebanon. And she didn't have good words to say about those people. I don't know what it is. I'm not from that part of the region, but whatever. And what's really sad is you can't identify negatively a whole race. I mean, you know, there's good people in everywhere, you know, it really is. And most of the people just want to live their lives and not get involved with this junk. So anyway, that's going to play a little bit in the markets and infrastructure. But right now, it's not a factor.
Okay. We did get a question on the text line here. How do you feel about annuities and the insurance as an insurance as, let's see, I'm sorry, annuities and life insurance as investments?
I think life insurance is like if you bought term insurance for like your wife who's got a newborn baby, and if something happened to her, you need to pay for, you know, to care for the child until you get, let's say, remarried again, for example. So you got to have some money to take care of that wife, and vice versa. If you die and you're the primary breadwinner, you need to have a term insurance policy. Now, do you need to have a whole life policy you're kind of putting money into for the rainy day also? No. I don't think so. Because why? Because let's say you buy a $100,000 whole life policy where, you know, the cash value is like $3,000. It's supposed to grow over time. And, you know, your death benefit is $100,000. When you die, you don't get like the $100,000 plus the cash value of $105,000 policy, whatever, or the $10,000 or whatever it is, the cash value. You don't get that. You get $100,000. So, but if you're able to time your death perfectly, and I've never known people to do this, you can take out that cash value, leave a buck in there, and then the insurance company is on the line for the $100,000. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
So as a rule, I just don't think that's a good deal. And they always say, well, the cash value grows at 6% or something. Yeah, but what kind of fees are we taking out of after that? Notice that. Do your internal rate of return and figure out the fees they're paying for the life insurance are going up every year. So it's not a good idea. Annuities, I'm not a big fan of annuities. There are some that are better than others. I like fixed annuities that have a high rate of return. You know, maybe 6% would be huge if you can buy a 6% annuity. It's like a real 6%, like fixed annuity, not like these smoke and mirrors kind of annuities. And I think you need to evaluate somebody. We're not a salesman. I used to be insurance licensed a long time ago. I dropped that license. I still know about it, how it works. And, you know, I stick to chocolate and vanilla, basically, because I want more money to go for the client. And annuities, I haven't really found the perfect annuity that's really good for folks.
Well, that was a great question, so thank you so much for sending that in. We've only got about a minute or so left. I can't believe the time has just flown by with you.
Just like life.
I know, right? So we were talking this morning with Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. How can people get in touch with you if they have been interested by your conversation today and maybe want to talk to you about coming to you as an advisor?
Sure. Just look us up on the website, armadaadvisors.com. Or just Google Armada Advisors Pensacola. You'll see us. Number is 850-497-6167. We can do it.
All right. Give that number one more time.
850-497-6167.